This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Intel puts its chips on the table. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for March 19th, 2010, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hello once again, Addison.
Hey, Michael.
Well, I guess you caught the big news this week. Intel launched its Westmere EP chips right on time, the so-called Westmere chips, the Intel calling 5600 series processors. Intel, of course, is touting the better performance and energy efficiency. These are, of course, the six-core chips built on 32-nanometer technology, and they're actually promising anywhere between 20 and 60% better performance on a range of applications. So there was a press briefing earlier in the week about this, and the big sales pitch there was essentially to replace 15 single-core Xeon servers from 5 years ago with a single Westmere box. And this is probably more likely in the HPC world, you could replace all your single-core servers with Westmere servers and get like a 15-fold performance bump. I guess while I was listening to this, I was sort of wondering how many single-core servers are actually still out there, especially in HPC. I guess 2005 wasn't that long ago, but it seems like, you know, just ages ago in the sort of fast-paced world we live in. Do you have any sense, Addison, on how many single-core servers, how much of that infrastructure is left out there in HPC?
Yeah, we do, and it surprised us with how much it was. In our site census report last year, we reported that 40% of the installed base was still single-core servers. The predominant reason for that is a lot of HPC users are intentionally lagging behind the move to dual and multi-core because their codes don't perform well on dual-core or multiple-core systems. Now, eventually, the revolution catches up to them, and they're forced to move. Those single-core systems will only last so long. Now, that's already year-old data, so I'm sure it's not 40% anymore. Our new site census data, we actually just launched the survey through HPC Wire earlier this week, so we're looking forward to getting the New Year's data coming in.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's sort of amazing to me that people are actually retaining those single core systems just on the basis they don't think they're going to be able to use even an additional core. I mean, they're going to go out of business. It seems like obviously they're going to have to adjust for the multi-core world, but
right. Eventually, you have to come to the reality of figuring out how you're going to optimize for those multiple cores. But that is the reason for certain segments of the HPC industry lagging behind a little bit, and that premise of being able to get the same performance at 30% lower power, or 64% more performance at the same power, being able to replace your 15 single core servers with a Westmere.
Right.
Those performance enhancements are based on the premise that you're going to get those performance targets, which the HPC community will have to find out for itself.
Right. I mean, I think one thing Intel and I think AMD are doing to a certain extent is they're offering sort of lower core versions of their top of the line chips, like the Westmere chip. Everybody knows it as a six core chip, but they're also offering four-core versions, and actually it's slightly higher clock speeds. I'm thinking, you know, the HPC folks are going to be attracted to those chips as well, or maybe even more so, because they'll have basically the same memory bandwidth, but fewer cores and maybe slightly faster cores. So there is sort of that recognition, I think, with the chip vendors that, you know, not everybody's ready to jump onto, you know, four-plus cores all of a sudden, although, you know, we know AMD in a couple of weeks, or less than a couple of weeks, is going to come out with their 8 and 12 core Opterons, the so-called Magna Cores Opterons, before the end of the month. So
yep.
It's just inevitable that everybody's going to be adjusting to these, you know, double-digit core counts eventually.
Well, I wrote a blog on this a year ago, Michael, about the transition to multi-core after we came up with this data point about the the lagging behind. And using a cartoon physics analogy of Wile E. Coyote having already run off the cliff, but not falling yet because he hasn't looked down yet to acknowledge the problem. And what we meant by that is that in the near term, a lot of HPC users have coped with the multi-core challenge by simply configuring twice as much memory per socket and then assigning individual jobs to individual cores. And the amount of memory configured per system is tracked in terms of memory per core staying relatively constant. Now eventually you run out of being able to do that. You look down and the Coyote falls. But the Coyote is resilient, figures out a way to start optimizing for multiple cores again, and gets back in the race chasing the Roadrunner again. It's just painful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody is going to adapt to this one way or another. And I think, you know, the system vendors are catching on, too, that, you know, the imbalance in the core count versus the rest of the system resources are something that are being addressed. People are putting in systems that can boost up the memory capacity somewhat. I think even the Westmere has support for greater memory capacity now in certain areas. So, yeah.
Yes, I did see that as part of the presentation, the increased memory capacity, the different SKUs and advanced standard and basic SKUs. It should be a pretty straightforward follow-on from the Xeon 5500 to the Westmere Xeon 5600. Now, I wasn't seeing the standard press presentation.
Right.
I was seeing Stephen Wheat give a presentation on it on during his Tuesday slot at the HPCC conference in Newport, Rhode Island, which is where I am this week.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, we probably didn't get the deep dive that you got. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, we talked about the Westmere launch, but I love the HPCC conference in general. Now, it's a very intimate conference, especially in comparison to something larger like SC or even the ISC conference in Hamburg. This is, you know, a much smaller deal. It's on the order of 100 or 200 people. But what I like about it is the crowd that it attracts are people who really have the capability to affect change on the vendor side, on the user side, on the policymaker side. It is a conference that tends to skew toward the tip of the pyramid on the supercomputing end. But despite that fact, this year there was a real persistent thread to discussing HPC adoption in what the Council on Competitiveness calls the missing middle. Cynthia McIntyre was here from the Council. Stephen Wheat commented on that extensively in his presentation after he gave the Westmere update, looking at how to promote HPC adoption in more areas of the industry. I likened it to, you know, being at the top of the tree, but looking down underneath you to see exactly how thick the trunk is. So that was really an interesting theme the overall theme for the conference was supercomputing. Are we there yet? But many of the speakers, including me myself, talked about research that we've done in terms of what the barriers to adoption are for HPC users, going beyond the cost of the hardware and the software to, even if it were free, where are you going to get the data that you're loading into it? Where do you get the political will and motivation to change your workflow? Where do you get the expertise? And there was a lot of very good discussion about what kind of national initiatives could be done to help smooth that adoption.
Well, right. This is more like the government crowd anyway, so there's going to be, I guess, a lot more emphasis on, like you said, the high end and sort of, you know, the policymakers and what they can be doing in this space.
There are a lot of government users here, yes, and policymakers, but also people from the vendor community, people from the ISV community. There were a lot of very interesting discussions and, of course, interesting examples of great high-end applications. I had the pleasure of speaking after Englem Go, the CTO of SGI, who still had his traditional slot as the first Wednesday speaker, and got to see some of his demonstrations. Again, there's a great vendor panel. So a lot of presentations that were wonderful to watch, and then more important, the networking time that we get in between. It's a great conference that I truly enjoy.
Yeah, I'm told that is a very intimate conference, and people do get a lot out of it, and it's unfortunately something I've never been able to attend, but it certainly does look like something where you can sort of get underneath the sort of some of the hype that you get at some of these other conferences and learn a little bit more about the people and the vendors and the relationships that go on.
Yeah, and there were other interesting discussions, like what do we think programming models will look like in 10 years, and is MPI going to be adequate, and what's the path to exascale? But what really stood out to me was this concern about having a healthy entry level and mid-range to continue to support and grow the industry. I'll mention one other thing before we wrap up, is I was, of course, watching Jay Boris of Naval Research Lab and his presentation with interest, but he said something at the front of it that I hadn't known, which was that Hank Daugherty of Naval Research Labs, who we've known for a long time, passed away about 2 weeks ago, and I was very sad to hear that news. He was a real visionary in HPC who was always tasked with looking at new technologies. You always knew that Hank wouldn't buy something if it already worked. He always wanted his stuff to be pre-working condition, serial numbers in the negatives, and was that kind of guy who would help bring and inspire new technologies in the market. He'll be really missed by a lot of people in HPC.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Yeah, that's he will be missed. Well, I hate to end on that sort of down note, but I think we'd have to wrap it up for this week. We'll be looking forward to the news next week. Obviously, there's things on the agenda. I mean, AMD is going to come out with its opt-arounds hopefully in the next couple weeks, and I think there's going to be some news from some other vendors as well. So until then, Addison, I guess we'll be talking to you.
Look forward to it as always, Michael. Thanks a lot.
All right. So long.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.